Hello, welcome to Entrepreneurship Policy Pulse, Episode 5. My name is Amaka Wokolo. I head the FAID Institute, which is the research, policy, and advocacy arm of FAID Foundation, and I'm your host. Today, we would be discussing the African Continental Free Trade Agreement and transforming Nigeria's manufacturing sector. The African Continental Free Trade Agreement, popularly referred to as AFTA, was designed with the goal of creating a single market for Africa, a continent with over 1.3 billion people, 55 countries, and a GDP of $3.4 trillion. The agreement aims to eliminate tariffs on 90% of tariff lines over a five-year period and an additional 7% on tariff lines over the subsequent five-year period, making it easier for countries within the continent to trade. Now, whilst this agreement presents a huge opportunity for small businesses to expand and contribute immensely to Nigeria's economy through export, there are some pertinent questions to ask. For example, how ready are Nigeria's nano, micro, small, and medium businesses to take advantage of the opportunities that the AFTA present? How can the existing trade bottlenecks in Nigeria be removed to improve the export of manufactured goods by small businesses? Joining me today to discuss these questions and more is Senior Research Fellow at the FAID Institute, Wilson Erumebo. The conversation we're having today is based on one of the papers Wilson Erumebo as a fellow developed. It's good to have you here with me today, Wilson.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Now, Wilson is a senior economist at the Nigerian Economic Summit Group. He has over a decade of experience in research, policy, advocacy, and economic development. His research interests cover macroeconomics, fiscal and monetary policies, industry research, and economic and social inclusion. Wilson serves as the lead for several high-level research and advocacy projects, including the NESG Macroeconomic Outlook Project, the NESG Osiwa Debt Management Roundtable Project on Debt Sustainability in ECOWAS, and the Nigeria in 2050 Scenarios Project. Wilson, thank you very much again for joining me today. It's great to have you here with me. Okay, so before we jump right in, can we start with an overview of the manufacturing sector? Today, we're discussing the paper that you developed, right? Looking at the AFTA agreement and transforming Nigeria's manufacturing sector. So let's start with the manufacturing sector. What would you say, or how would you describe the manufacturing sector? How would you describe its evolution? What are some of the challenges and the issues that the manufacturing sector faces today?
Well, first of all, I should start by looking at the sector from a point of view of growth in output, okay. Right? And perhaps maybe we should go back to the last 8 years. Mm. And what you'd find is that, you know, on average, the sector has grown by 1.5%, okay. You know, in the last 8 years. Its contribution
is that
to
good
GDP.
Or bad?
Well, it's far below what we should expect, you know, okay. from a sector like manufacturing, especially because of the value it yeah. brings to an economy.
Right.
So perhaps we'll, you know, delve into that a bit more. Later. If you also look at its share in output, so when you look at Nigeria's GDP, what contribution, you know, is allocated to manufacturing? So it's 11%, which again, by standard, it's quite low because when you compare, you know, countries like, you know, that we were, you know, in the same group before, like Indonesia, Malaysia, and the likes in the 80s, and how much they've been able to grow their manufacturing sector to sometimes close to about 30%, 35% of GDP. So for us doing 11%,
we're struggling, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it tells you that we're, you know, we haven't hit, you know, the peak yet as far as the sector is concerned, in terms of also in terms of job creation and right. all of that. And when you then move to exports, right, and this is really shocking and sad at the same time, because it's just about 2.9% of total exports. So manufactured goods account for 2.9% of total exports in 2022.
Wow.
That's that's close to zero, right? So you can imagine when people say we export much of oil,
right?
And the non-oil sector isn't really contributing so much to an economy like Nigeria, and it's sad because we have that huge potential. All of the things that we need to make manufacturing work. Exist in Nigeria, right? And I'm not talking about the government side of government policy, right? So I'm speaking to the fact that we have a skills base, we have a large population, we have a large market, natural resources, whether it's, you know, agriculture related resources or even mineral related resources. And all of these things are what countries don't even have, and they're also able to grow their manufacturing. So how much more we having all of these factors, you know, and then our sector is still not doing as much as better as it should be. So that's something worrying. But at the same time, it also presents that the sector has lots of potential in the future to drive economic output and to drive economic growth in general, and even employment. So in terms of the structure of the sector, you'd have, you know, about 13 subsectors within manufacturing in Nigeria. This is based on the NBS, the National Bureau of Statistics classification. But again, within those 13 sectors, amongst those 13 sectors, you have a case where just three of those sectors account for about 75% of total output within the sector. So the sector is kind of skewed towards textile, cement, food and beverage. Those are the three main sectors that contribute 75%. So you have other subsectors like pharmaceuticals, metals and co-contributing as little as 0.1 or even 1%, 2% to total manufacturing output, which again speaks to the point that there's been lots of there are lots of opportunities within the sector for it to expand and grow if we can focus on the other aspect of the sector that are not contributing so much to GDP. So I'd say the potential is huge.
And just listening to you, I don't know whether to be excited or scared, but I guess it's a case of have how do we say it now, looking at the glass half full or half empty, you know. So I would focus on the potential as against looking at the fact that there's just so much that should have been done. You know, up until this point that we're not just not seeing within the space. Okay, so now that you've given that overview of the manufacturing sector, let's now talk about AFTA, right? Because the agreement looks like it's actually an exciting opportunity and an exciting idea when we think of the potential that it wields, right, for small businesses in Nigeria. But before we delve into that, what's the agreement about? What do you think influenced the design of this agreement, and what are the opportunities that it wields?
So before AFTA, we had cases where, you know, countries were dealing with themselves within regions like, you know, ECOWAS and the Southern African regional bloc and all of that. So what AFTA basically seeks to do is to preach this idea of one Africa, the fact that Africa can come together and trade as one, right? You produce your goods in Nigeria, you can easily get them to Ghana, you know, to even South Africa, to Botswana and co. So the whole idea is to say, let's have a single market. You know, a single market, right? I mean, we're talking about, in your intro, you mentioned $3.4 trillion dollar market. That's quite huge. I mean, we're talking about over a billion people. I mean, if you remember Paul Collier's research where he was talking about the bottom billion, the fact that, you know, Africa remains at the bottom, right? You know, when it comes to income and all of that, poverty and all of that. And if you also read the headline of The Economist magazine, there was in the early 2000s or even in the 90s or so, late 90s, where they tagged Africa as the hopeless continent, then a decade later it changed to the hopeful continent, something like that. So it just tells you that Africa is primed, you know, to be a major global force, you know, as far as the economy is concerned. All of this is potential, right? So and the AFTA keys into that, right? Even into the Africa Agenda 2063, the fact that you want to travel from Nigeria, for instance, to anywhere in the continent, how much of a bottleneck and barrier do you have to face, but why can't we eliminate all that? So after, of course, focus is more on the trade side, but there are also elements of it that focus on even movement of people, and there's a bigger plan even beyond after to integrate Africa as a whole. So the idea is for Africa to trade more. Intra-African trade is still somewhere around 16%, one of the lowest when you look at other regions. So the idea is, let's come together, let's see ourselves as one, let's do business together, let's trade together, let's invest, you know, together. And by that, it means, you know, output will increase, productivity will increase, trade will increase, and all of the social outcomes that we look at, poverty and unemployment, decline, will reduce, because the more your goods can get easily to other countries within the continent, the more you can trade and solve problems as well. So in a nutshell, I think that's just a summary of what the goal seeks to achieve, what AFTA seeks to achieve.
Right. And that sounds great and exciting. But in terms of implementation now, how feasible do you think implementation would be across all the countries in Africa?
Well, the challenge is, you know, with a deal like this, right, it took a while for some countries to sign on to the deal. Some were, you know, at the forefront, even Nigeria, right? It took a while. I couldn't remember the last president was, you know, going around meeting with Manufacturing Association of Nigeria and other trade related groups, just trying to see whether it would benefit us or not. So what that meant, or what that means also, is that countries are moving at different pace, you know, as far as the deal is concerned. So many countries are still, you know, trying to get their instrument of ratification passed across. I think about over 43 countries have done that. For some countries trade has started, but some others it's still pre-AFTA status, right? They haven't really executed and implemented actual trading under AFTA. Some countries are still putting together their AFTA implementation strategy, which basically is a guide document that says, how do we benefit from this? What goods are we focusing on? For Nigeria, we're still hoping to see that document finalized and then published, to see, so that businesses, you know, can start positioning themselves to say, perhaps my sector is one of the key sectors that, you know, will drive AFTA. And then we can then leverage on that. We can start producing. We can, you know, and I think also one important part of AFTA is the fact that 90% of tariff lines would be exempted from, you know, tariffs, which is the beauty of the deal, that you can export those goods or trade in those goods without necessarily subjecting them to tariffs. So it's almost like a free trade agreement. So so if your product falls into that category, you need to prepare, you need to know. If your product falls into the exemption category, you also need to know and prepare as a business to know whether you need to invest more, what markets do you need to target, and all of that. So some countries are, you know, making quick progress, but many others within the continent aren't doing so at the moment.
So when we think about Nigeria, you began to touch on it, right? We've been driving for the domestication of AFTA, right? Yeah. So maybe you can speak a bit more to that. What does that mean for those who are listening and are wondering? You know, we hear this a lot, you know, in the news, domestication of AFTA. Yeah. What does that mean? And what's the implication of domesticating the agreement for Nigerian businesses?
Yeah, so there are different components to it. There's the policy component to it. There's a legislation component to it. Also, there's the institutional aspect of it, which basically just tries to see that what institutions will, for instance, drive the implementation of AFTA. Are we looking at creating new institutions? Are we leveraging on existing institutions? You know, what role will agencies like the customs, the port authority, and all of the relevant trade related agencies, what role will they play in the AFTA process? So I think for Nigeria, there's also an AFTA implementation committee, which was headed by I think Francis Anatogo at some point before this new administration. So And they have been doing all of this work. There's also the Nigerian Office of Trade Negotiation as well. They have been working in the last few years to be able to develop an Africa after implementation strategy for Nigeria. And the progress on that, you know, when a new government comes in, you know, everything gets stalled, like many things get stalled. And this is one of the things, right? So, and it's sad that, you know, this is an important agreement that should be given very high priority for the government.
Okay. Thank you for sharing insights around that. So now let's touch on the questions I had asked earlier, which is how ready are Nigeria's nano, micro, small and medium enterprises? How ready are they to take advantage of this agreement, right? And then the other part to the question would be the existing bottlenecks, you know, within the manufacturing sector. How do we begin to mitigate that? You know, so it's a packed question.
Yeah.
But we can take it one after the other. So are they ready?
Well, so there are different measures that you can use to assess readiness, right? Okay. Whether a business is ready or a sector. One of them is the ability for businesses to produce for export. The question is, how are we, how much of product of Nigerian products get out, you know, outside the country, to other, you know, other countries within the continent. And sad one again. So when you look at what we produce in terms of manufactured output, which is basically what Nigeria produces locally, manufactured goods, and then you look at manufacturing exports, right? And then you compare both to say, what share of our output do we export to neighboring countries? So the ratio or the percentage is 2.8%. So of our output, we only export 2.8% of what we produce in Nigeria to other African countries. So are we ready? Yeah, so 2.8% is, you know, really, really small. And what this sends, or the key message, is that Nigeria is not producing enough for export.
So this
you could even argue that we're not producing enough locally. How much more when you then bring in the export market? Component. So that share alone tells you that, I mean, many businesses aren't ready for the deal. And in terms of this trade structure, you'll also notice that we do a lot of trade with countries that are outside Africa. Right. So when we look at exports, for instance, 90% of what we export, the value of our exports, are to countries outside Africa.
Yeah,
when like you China. Then look at import, I mean, it's basically it's mostly crude oil. Right.
Yeah.
When you then look at imports, we're saying 87% of what we import comes from countries outside Africa. So you can imagine that, you know, ability to produce for export is really, really low. So that's one point. And I'll quickly touch on the other one. There may not be time to delve into them.
We have
deeply.
Time.
Okay. So the other is availability of information and business support services. So there are a couple of surveys out there that shows that many of our businesses do not even know about the African Continental Free Trade Area Agreement, right? So there's some that would say about 60% of businesses, 70%, depending on the location, they aren't even aware of the deal. And the interesting thing is, if you are not aware of something, how do you even prepare, you know, to take advantage of what it brings? So that's one area. And then, so we can talk about, you know, the role of government agencies to then create sensitization and awareness for all of these businesses, and even on the part of these businesses themselves, for them to go out there and seek for information that would be benefit them in this, as far as this deal is concerned. The other is also operations within cluster, because the kind of manufacturing that we do in Nigeria is such that if you look at the NBS data for 2017, it showed that, you know, about 76% of workers in manufacturing sector are self-employed. So this is not the kind of manufacturing that we will leapfrog
drive
Nigeria
export.
Because it's almost like somebody just sits in his office or in his shop and then makes just small things. And so when we're talking about export and the ability to service other markets outside your country, we should be talking about scaling, right? So that's where the idea of clustering businesses coming together. Oh, you make shoes. And you make shoes. Can we come together, bring resources together to, you know, support all of that and then ensure that we can scale up production, you know, and then meet up with other markets? So it's a bit fragmented at the moment, but then I think a lot of work needs to be channeled towards that direction. The other two, which I'll quickly touch on, are policy and institutional frameworks. Which I know it's a big deal, you know, if you work in the policy space,
yes.
What's the role of policy? Where is Nigeria's trade policy? Where's Nigeria's investment policy? Mm-hmm. Where's Nigeria's industrial policy? Mm-hmm. We don't have any industrial policy. I hear that there's a trade policy that was concluded earlier this year, but I don't know whether it's still in the shelf because I've not seen it out there anywhere. It's not been published. And with a new administration, so you then begin to ask what's going on. All of the national development planning that we worked on, some of us played different roles in that process. What will happen with this new administration? Are they going to look at it, or are we going to start another whole exercise of developing a new plan, which we all know has been a problem with Nigeria for decades? The ability for us, or the inability for us, to
be consistent,
consistent with policy and all of that. So that in itself is problematic. And you can talk about the role of institutions like Nigerian Customs. Oh my God. So, they have a new leadership. So, but again, I still think a lot of reforms need to go in those institutions and the border related control. Institutions. And finally, infrastructure. Roads, rails, connecting
energy.
Power. Yeah. So, and how do we ensure that border access routes, you know, have good roads? If you visit some of the borders, Jericho and all those places, you would just marvel and think, I mean, and if you even go up north, right, you just marvel and wonder how can you even police a border like this, you know? So all of those are very important ingredients that tells you whether or not a country is ready. And for Nigeria, I don't think we are ready yet. I think we need to double up our effort to be able to benefit from this deal. Otherwise, hopefully we will not become a dumping ground for many other countries.
Yeah. Oh my God, those are very heavy points, you know? It's taking me a bit of time to just soak all of that in. But now let's talk about, on a concluding note, let's talk about the way forward, right? If you were to share policy recommendations in addressing some of these very serious and strong issues that you have highlighted, where do we start from? So if, for example, we had a recommendation to share with the current government, even if it's just one, because I think sometimes the problem is we try to do everything at the same time, you know. So if we're just to pick a one policy, where do we start from? Maybe after implementing it?
Yeah, for me, I'm very big on the policy side and the legal side and legal side, because I think the moment you get it clear on that part, you can easily galvanize people to follow a dream or a vision. But if you don't have a vision, trust me, you could follow your neighbor to their house, you know, forgetting where yours is. So I think that's why I would prioritize more, first of all, how do we ensure that we have, you know, world-class, you know, standard, up-to-date trade and industrial policies. I think a lot of work has been done in the past. You know, the Nigerian Industrial Revolution Plan is one of them. I think is a very fantastic document that, you know, unfortunately, I think we just kept it aside and we didn't follow through on that. So how can we ensure that some of the works that have been done in the previous administration can continue, in the sense that all of those policy documents, let's just pick them up, put them out there, And the next step should be, how do we implement? The next step should be, what role will government agencies play? Think of the port, for instance. If you import goods into whether Apapa or one of the other, I mean, you know how much informal activity still goes on within the port, where you have to settle one person or the other, and all of those things need to be addressed. And I still think that the president himself needs to be in charge of exports, particularly promoting non-oil exports and the export of manufactured goods. This should sit within the office of the president, because it's much easier for the president to call a DG of customs and say, look,
I hear this is
sanitize this thing and make sure that it's institutional. Not that when tomorrow you leave and then everything goes back to zero. So I think we need to place all of this within the office of the president, because of how important it is for Nigeria to grow non-oil exports. This is, we're talking about the future. We're talking about 133 million people living under poverty. We're talking about many people unemployed and, you know, 92% or so, you know, employed in the informal space. We're talking about the working poor. You know, so the scale at which the problem is huge, right?
It is huge.
And the only way, or one of the best ways, to lift people out of poverty is through job creation. And manufacturing sector sits at the middle of, you know, that, you know, in terms of positioning itself for job creation. And also part of it is then exports. We need to service other African nations. If you travel across Africa, you'd see that, you know, we still consume things that can be produced locally, right? So Nigeria has that capacity, can build that capacity and capability to export goods to the rest of other, to other countries within the continent. And so, yeah, so there are many things. So if you look through the policy brief, you would see a list of other important points, you know, that, you know, were raised. We need to do stakeholder sensitization and awareness on the engagement on the deal. You know, we need a single window for exports, for non-oil exports. So it's always better when things are done jointly, and then you as an exporter, you know, if you go to a particular point, you can get all you need, all of the information you need, and all of that. Then standards also is very, very important. Very important. That's something we need to focus on, to ensure that, you know, our goods are not rejected. Even this is just not within Africa now. This is even exporting to other countries outside the continent, to ensure that we comply with relevant standards. All of the, you know, chemicals and all of that, you know, are taken care of. And then we have the relevant certifications for our products. So I think that's, I should just end there, because there are a whole lot of things to, to talk about.
But I hear you heavy on implementation, and I really think that's the place to start. And hopefully we can begin to see the impact, you know, and the ripple effects, like you described, across the economy. Thank you very much, Wilson. This has been a very engaging, insightful conversation. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing from your experience. I have been speaking with Wilson Erumebo, and we have been discussing the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, AFTA, and transforming Nigeria's manufacturing sector. Thank you for listening. Until the next episode, bye for now.